الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي أن من فعل بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما أنفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being so kind upon all of us to allow us to be in this month of Ramadan and to sit and to reflect on his book and to derive many lessons from this Quran. It's an extraordinary kitab. It has so many lessons and wisdoms for all of us. I just checked around the 21st part today, mashallah. We'll be done by the end of the month, inshallah ta'ala, bi'idhnillah, with the entire surah. So I'm happy to go through this journey with everyone here. And just make dua that Allah keeps us healthy and well so we can accomplish the goal. Allah is the doer, of course. So we're reflecting on the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And we saw that his beautiful response is blended with love and reminders. It was a very compelling discussion he's having with the people of Madian. Again, they're businessmen, so he talks like a businessman. And he's resoundingly clear. And so just to make a quick summary of what he said, was that first and foremost, they accused him of making a very foolish decision, something which will have no profits in the future. And so he reminds them and says, first and foremost, I'm on a clear proof from my Lord. I know this is the truth, and that this is what my heart is calling towards. And so every way you're looking at it, there's nothing I'm doing wrong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So being clear on a clear proof makes him clear with Allah. Second thing is that he has an excellent provision. And we talked about the provisions. It's either that's the fact that he's wealthy, he has a good enough to survive, or he has faith, you know, he's content, or the fact that he's a prophet. And he says that, look, I'm happy with myself. So after becoming happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second thing is that we come to terms with what Allah has given us. You know, if we're clear that Allah is our master and the one that we worship, the second part is that we're clear with ourselves, telling ourselves that what Allah has given us, I'm happy with it, you know. I'm being content that if he's the one deciding, I have nothing to worry about. Okay, it's kind of like similar to what the Prophet ﷺ was told before, that you continue to warn, Allah will take care of everything. In this way, we also have to be comfortable with Allah Ta'ala taking care of our lives as well, because he's the best planner. And then the third part was that he's a good person. Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them that, look, anything I'm telling you, I'm doing the same thing. Okay, and that by being a good person makes you clear with the people. So in every way you're looking at it, this is a good investment. So if it's a good investment, a good businessman will tell themselves that I shouldn't get worried or nervous. I should just be patient because it's going to turn out really good at the end. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them, guys, as businessmen, if I'm clear with Allah, I'm clear with myself, and I'm clear with you people, then do I have any bad accounts with anyone? Right? So just be patient. So they said, thank you for calling me a patient person. And on the top of it, mashallah, after you know telling him about all the blessings he's got, he's a very humble person. He goes and reminds them of this beautiful ayah, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Okay, and this is a beautiful, it's a way of life for Muslims. This is part of the surah, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My ability only comes from Allah. Everything I have is from Allah. It's all because of his decision. I'm just so grateful he put me where I am, in this country, in this community, in this family, all these things. I'm just so happy he's given me what I have. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. When a person internalizes these words, that my ability only comes from Allah. Everything I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You really fall in love with Allah. You tell yourself, what did I give to Allah to deserve any of these things? You know, yet he's given me a mind, he's given me eyes and ears, a heart, everything around me, everything is from him. So, you know, I'm just so unbelievably grateful to him. You know, and so Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them, guys, it's not because of me. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who given me everything. And the same way I'm calling you all, it's only by Allah's decision that you'll get guided. Okay? This is a deep reminder to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, I stress this point that when you read the Quran, you read through the lens of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, and that way you'll get the right message if you're reading through his lens sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it's a reminder to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you may want the people to be guided, but it's up to the will of Allah. O Prophet of Islam, your job is to convey the message. You continue to convey the message. Have faith in Allah. Continue your da'wah, and inshallah, Allah will guide them. This is a reminder to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can think about his life. You can think about the heartbreak and everything, right? And then finally, Shu'aib alayhi salam tells them that, look, I'm returning to Allah. And in other words, guys, you are also returning to him. So I trust in Allah and I'm returning to Allah. You guys will also have to return to Allah Ta'ala one day. So think about it, reflect on it, become, you know, the people of guidance, the people of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's not even done yet. He has a little bit more to tell them. And he explains to them very beautifully. And this is the part where the bayan gets a little strong. When the khatib, he goes through his lessons, he starts off with praising Allah, thanking Allah. Then he moves towards the harder part of the discussion. It gets a little stronger here. What is the discussion here? وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شِقَاقِي أَيُصِيبَكُمْ مِثْلُ مَا أَصَابَ قَوْمَ نُوحٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ هُودٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ صَالِحٍ وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. You heard a lot of names there. What is it? He said, oh, my beloved people, the people that I grew up with, the people that know me from before, don't let your hostility, don't let your anger towards me cause you to suffer. He says, don't make it the reason that you hate me, a means of you all finding failure and doom at the end. So he tells them that I don't want you to suffer like what happened to the people of Nuh. مَا أَصَابَ قَوْمَ نُوحٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ هُودٍ, or the people of Hud, right? Or he tells them, I don't want it to happen to you. أَوْ قَوْمَ صَالِحٍ, what happened to the people of Salih? Wind, water, wind, and earth, right? They were destroyed from all different locations, every single angle you could think about. Everything that we exist with in life, you know, when it comes to water, when it comes to air, when it comes to the land that we walk on. Shu'aib alayhi salam telling them, guys, look at what you have in the world. Everything around you can surround you one day. It can encompass you. It can take you from every angle. And then he goes and tells them very beautifully, وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. He says, throughout time, you've seen this. That the people of Nuh, people of Hud, people of Salih, throughout time, people have been destroyed. And he goes and says, and in another place, you know, time and place, another place you find very close to you are the people of Lut alayhi salam. How close are they? This is what we're talking about. It's not even a large distance at all. The Dead Sea is right there. The land of Midian is right there. Shu'aib alayhi salam saying, guys, I'm giving you textual, historical evidence, first and foremost. And secondly, I'm giving you practical, experiential evidence. You pass by the people of Lut alayhi salam all the time. Can you think about why they were destroyed? What happened? You know, do you want that to happen to you? And he goes and says to them, don't talk about this forefather stuff. You know, this is a reminder to what they said in the beginning, right? That you're disrespecting our forefathers. Don't talk about forefathers here. We're talking about big forefathers. Talk about Nuh. Talk about Hud. Talk about Salih, right? Talk about these people. These are real forefathers here. And he's legitimately telling them out of concern and worry that you guys are so angry at me, you're getting blinded because of it. You're getting blinded because of it. So he says, I'm worried about you guys. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. I'm so unbelievably worried about you all. Please just seek forgiveness from your Lord. Please, for the sake of Allah, please for yourselves, just seek forgiveness from Allah and repent to Him. إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. Beautiful names He chose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my Lord is kind and loving, unbelievably kind and unbelievably loving. That if you were to seek forgiveness even once and make tawbah once, forget about all your sins, they're all erased. They're all erased. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala will wash them away like the foam of the sea. It will be forgiven completely. Then I, you know, this is all out of concern. A prophet is only worried about his people, that they will be failures at the end. He says, I'm only worried that you all will fail. That life is leading towards something. Our life here is temporary. There's eternal, permanent success in the year after. I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to find destruction at the end. And he's telling them, just make tawbah to Allah. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you turn back right now, tells them right now, look, this is how Khatib talks. He makes it seem like there's no other time left. There's no more moments left. If you turn back right now, Allah loves you and He will take you back. This is His permanent sifa. Wadud is the sifat. It is an attribute of Allah ta'ala which is continuous and forever. Allah ta'ala always loves you and He will take you back. So, and He will comfort you, Rahim, Rahma. He will give you comfort and you will be loved. The word wood in Arabic is, it's a special type of mahabba. Whereas mahabba is used for like a general love. Wood is a love in which you're looking at the best interests of the person that you love. You're looking at their future and you hope the best for them. Okay? You want the best for those that you love. That's wood. So Allah talked about believers in the Quran, for example. He says that He will create wood between them. In other words, believers should be people that are looking for the best for each other, Not that, oh man, you know, this person's son became a doctor and my kid's not a doctor. Oh man, I hate this guy so much. And you start doing like hasad and jadu, la ilaha illallah. You know, we do some crazy stuff against each other because we are so upset that people are successful. We're not successful. Whereas a Muslim's quality should be that I am unbelievably happy. If you're successful, may Allah give you even more. And I hope that Allah gives me something too, inshallah, you know? So this is the idea about Allah Ta'ala's wadudness. Allah Ta'ala loves us so much, He's looking for our best interests. And that's why we have to tell ourselves that sometimes life gets a little tough. But tell yourself, Allah is wadud. There's such a compassion in this somehow. I don't understand it. I don't recognize it. Allah, I ask you that I can recognize it. But I'm for a fact that if I'm going through something in my life, I know Allah is wadud. He's comforting me. He's loving me. And even in those best moments of my life, when I'm smiling and happy, mashallah, remember Allah is wadud. He's looking sure that at the end, you're still going to end up happy, inshallah. You know, this is the type of Allah that we have. You know, He is wadud. Allah Ta'ala is wadud. And so this is the best investment. We're talking about someone who's looking for the best end, you know, the best profits. This is the way you want to go. If someone's looking to make it big in life, then we tell them to pray the Salat of Fajr. We tell them to make sure to make the 2 rakats before Fajr. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever prays the 2 rakats of Fajr, the 2 rakats Sunnah of Fajr, he has attained the whole world and whatever. It's better than the whole world and whatever it contains. This is the best investment. Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them, as businessmen, please, quickly, don't waste time. This stock is open for only a short amount of time. We want to purchase these shares as fast as possible. Don't waste any more time. Come back. And so this was an extraordinary talk in about 4 ayat. Just 4 ayat. Okay? And within this reminder of Shu'aib alayhi salam, such an amazing khatib, I just want to give you an idea. I'm telling you, this is on the surface of what's there. He used a variety of approaches. As a person who gives bayans and knows how, you know, these techniques, I see what he's done. In the beginning, he speaks with the core message, telling them to worship Allah. So they know immediately his thesis. What is the prime message trying to get across? Then he tells them, along with that, guys, you're shortening on these measures. So make sure you fill it. So he commands them with something good, and he forbids them from something haram. So his message is very clear from the beginning. Then he praises them. Inni araakum bi khayr. I see you all with good, mashallah. That's what a khatib does, right? He tells you what you have to do, and then he tells you how great you are, mashallah, how amazing people you are. This is not gonna hurt you at all. And then he tells them what is better. All right, you're gonna lose a little bit here. You're thinking you're gonna lose. You're thinking you're gonna lose. In reality, with Allah, you're gonna gain. Baqiyatullahi khayru lakum. Whatever is with Allah is better for you. Then he talks about hypothetical scenarios. Ara'aytum. Hypothetically speaking, you guys are smart people. You can figure it out. Then he praises Allah Ta'ala for his own blessings. He says, I figured it out. This is what Allah has given me. Then he speaks about himself and says, I really, you know, I try my best. And all of this is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then he warns them through history. He takes them to a walk through history. From time and time again, he shows them what happened. And he shows them, you know, geographically as well, about a place right next to them that has been suffered from another punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then he encourages them, wastaghfiru thumma tubu ilayhi inna rabbi rahimun wadud. He encourages them at the end by describing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the beginning, he mentions Allah, and at the end, he mentions Allah. And if you probably notice something here, is that he ended with love. He ended with encouragement, because this is the way a bayan should end. You should not leave people thinking that they're going to go to Jahannam on their lunchtime. They came to the bayan and they should end up leaving with a happy note, and they should feel it, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is love. So when we talk to people, we have to talk with so much love behind our voice. Even if it's a strong message sometimes, we have to be gentle and kind as much as we can be, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is love. You have to remind them how loving is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Really, Allah took us out from the bellies of our mothers, the wombs of our mothers. He took care of us while we were 1 year old, 2 years old. You know, you see a little kid running, you wonder how in Allah's name does this kid even survive to become like a teenager. A kid is unbelievable in my eyes. Sometimes I see these kids running around at home. I'm like, Allah knows how they survive these things. It's because of a special love Allah Ta'ala has, really. And so we have to, you know, when we talk to people, be as kind as you are the way you are kind to children. As loving as you are loving to children. This is the way we talk to people. So Shu'aib alayhi salam, he ended with love, the way a khatib should end, mashallah. So just reflect on that, about how amazing of a message he gives, how extraordinary it is from piece to piece. You can link the bayan together. I'm scratching the surface here. You can go even deeper if you want to see how many links he makes within his talk. It's an amazing speech. He does so much in this small, you know, again, 4 ayats, right? What's the response of his people? قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ.
What did they say? Oh, Shu'aib, we don't understand much of what you're saying. This is an extraordinary message. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. All these things, you know, amazing stuff. I'm going to do what I'm telling you guys that I'm telling you to do. I do the same things. I worship Allah. Oh, you know, amazing stuff. You're just like, what? You know, he spoke their language. He literally talked like a businessman for them to understand, you know. He went into their field. This is such an amazing thing sometimes, you know. The way that a person who's giving a talk will try his best to match the people that he's speaking to. And we've seen ulama, I'm telling you, such high caliber, such things they know, but they try their best to simplify their message for the people that they're speaking to. He gave them exactly what they wanted to hear about profit and loss. He talked about investments. He talked about business, everything that they needed to hear about. He spoke their language. If they come up and they say like, your speech was very disorganized. There wasn't really a sequence behind it. You know, they say things like this, like, I don't really get it. It doesn't really make any sense what you're saying. Like, you know, it's just not, I'm not grasping it, you know. It's almost like you could say, مَثَلُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ كَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمْ. Earlier, Allah Ta'ala told us, the examples of the believers and the disbelievers are like the example of the seeing and the blind. It's almost like they're blind. It's almost like they're deaf. No matter what you say, and sometimes I wonder, like, I'm speaking to sometimes a youth, you know, and I'm thinking I'm talking logical stuff, you know. Allah will grant you so many amazing things in Jannah. Life is a short amount of time. You've lived already 20, 25 years. You're going to die one day. You know, these types of things, like, you know, they make you think, like, well, what am I going to be doing in life? What's my purpose here? What am I here for? You know, all these big questions. A Muslim has, mashallah, has internalized all these things. You're a very smart individual and you're a Muslim, really. You figured out the biggest questions of life. What am I doing here? What is the purpose of existence? Big stuff. And I'm talking to youth sometimes and I wonder, like, they're looking at me like they're, like, staring at a wall, you know, like, I feel like, what the heck is happening? Is there anything registering, you know? And so Allah that give us understanding, it's probably our weakness. We always blame ourselves because obviously we're so sophisticated and loud and all this stuff, whatever, I guess, you know, stuff with Allah. So the thing is that he's speaking to his people and they don't seem to get anything he's saying. And they actually go even further than that. And they say, Shu'aib, we think something's wrong with your brain. What do they say? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We see you as a very weak individual amongst us. You're very weak. And they're not just saying he's weak in body. They're saying he's weak-minded. Okay? They're saying that he's a weak-minded individual. You're talking like a crazy person. Completely insane. None of this stuff is registering. The beautiful speech, the most intellectual speech you just heard from Shu'aib alayhi salam, his people are telling him, you know, give you like a 2 out of 10 out, you know, that wasn't a really that great, not gonna really good do good in Oxford, you know, whatever. So they start to hit him really hard. They tell him that you're a very weak-minded individual and you're alone, you know. So this is what happens when you know you've won the argument. How do you know you've won the argument? Is that when people stop, you know, discussing your points and start attacking you ad hominem, right? They attack you as a person. And when they start attacking you as a person, say to yourself, Shabash, mashallah, I won. Because now you have nothing else to say against what I've just said. And now you're just picking at me as an individual. And obviously I've won then, because you have nothing else intellectual to offer me. Nothing else you could put on the table. So they start to tell Shu'aib alayhi salam, this is a sign for everyone, that you know when you've talked to someone, spoken to someone, when they don't want to speak about you, your points anymore, they start talking about you and what you're doing and your individual and your family and all this stuff. Bro, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, you won the argument. Don't worry about anything else afterwards. They said to him that we see you as a weak individual. And walawara rahtuka, if it wasn't for your small clan, raht is a small group, it's from 3 to 10. So your small clan, we would have larajamnak, we would have stoned you, we would have killed you right now. I'm telling the Shu'aib alayhi salam, if it wasn't because you had these few people around you, we would have killed you right now, you know. Wama anta alayna bi'aziz. And according to us, you're not really a man of dignity. You don't really have any status. Alright, you said you had money. Compared to our wealth, you're nothing. Compared to what status we have, you're nothing. They're only looking in terms of worldly terms. They're not looking at what real wealth he has. The wealth of understanding and knowledge. The wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't look at those things and they don't dignify him or respect him because of that. And may Allah forgive us the way we treat ulama sometimes, scholars. That they're inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't dignify or respect them. We look at them and we start to look with the eye of lowliness and disgrace. We look at them and say, oh man, what a person, they wasted their life. What are you? Who are you? Are you my judge? Right? Are you the person who's going to give me my reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we're looking at in the first place, and the only one I'm looking at. Forget about anything else anyone else says. Allah is the one we're going towards. So they go and say these things to Shu'aib alayhi salam. Now at this moment, when people have stopped giving you intellectual arguments, the best thing is to actually hand them back and hit them like Hud alayhi salam hit them. You know, he just completely clapped back as hard as he could. And you felt like you got slapped for listening to him. When it came to Shu'aib alayhi salam, because this is the man he is, the khatib. He still tries to convince them through intellectual arguments. He still tries to reason with them. This is an amazing individual here. He says, oh my people. You know, let's first, before we can get into his response. His response is actually in this part here. Oh my beloved people, qawm is a word that you use when you are saying we all have that our father is one, our forefather is one. We all come from the same source, right? We all come from the same lineage or progeny, you know? He goes and says that, guys, we're from the same people. If you're saying I'm not respected, then logically speaking, if you're saying I'm not a respected individual when we're all from the same father, you guys also aren't respected then. It's like, imagine if Yusuf alayhi salam's brother said to Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf, you're not a respected individual. Yusuf alayhi salam say, duh, guys, we're all from the same father. You can't really say that, you know? So he's trying to tell them very nicely, yeah, qawmi, guys, we're all one family, one people. Don't say I'm not respected or else the arrow will come back and shoot you, you know? So he goes and says, rahti azzu alaykum min Allah, is my small, tiny clan more respectable to you than Allah? You're like, you're thinking about this clan. I'm thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he flips the table on them and he flips it on us. People often say these types of nonsense things. They'll say these things when they're defending the haram things they're doing because of family, because of honor, because of, oh, my lineage, my khandan, meri khandan, my people, this people, my people, my bongsho, my this and that. People say, because my family will say something, my people will say something. Is your family more dignified in your eyes? Do you have more respect for your family than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't care about Allah at all? Is that what you're telling me? That if Allah ta'ala told you something's haram, oh yeah, but my family. Who's more respected in your eyes, you know? So he flips it on everyone there, and us and everyone. He says to them, all right, I'm weak. No problem. Attack me. No problem. My clan is strong. No problem. Who's stronger? Is my clan strong or is Allah ta'ala stronger? Who's stronger here? Is Allah, what about Allah? And what if Allah is the one supporting me? If you're going to agree with me, and everyone would agree that Allah is stronger than any human being, and all of creation, all of matter in existence, Jibreel, Mikael, alayhi salam, put everyone in one scale, one pan, they're nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so devastating and powerful. You can't compare yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if Allah is supporting me? You're talking about my clan. I'm not even looking at my people. I'm looking at Allah azza wa jal, okay? What if Allah is supporting me? Because I'm doing everything right. I just told you that. So what about Allah? And what about the second thing is what? You're scared of my clan. You're terrified that they're going to come back and shoot you or attack you because you tried to kill me. But you're not scared of Allah? I literally just told you about the people of the past. I just told you about Hud, Nuh, Salih, alayhim as-salam. I told you about Lut, alayhi as-salam. I told you about what people, what happened to people when they disrespected or disobeyed Allah. Are you not scared of Allah? And he goes and tells them, وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاكُمْ ظِهْرِيَّ. You put him behind you? You think you walked past God? You know, like the atheist says, we're beyond God. God is a relic of the past. You're a fool. You're a person who doesn't understand anything about existence. You put him behind you. You've moved past Allah. إِنَّ رَبِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. He said, surely my Lord encompasses you. In Arabic, when you say, وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاءَكُمْ ظِهْرِيَّ, you have thrown him, throwing it behind your back. What does that mean? It means that you've angered them. For example, when you say in Arabic again, you said, I took this person, I threw him behind my back. It means that you've angered them and you're saying, I can handle whatever pressure they're going to put on my back now. Like, for example, you're like, yeah, I can carry this weight. Not a big deal. So when they said this in the way it's put in the Quran, it's like they're saying that, yeah, we know we've angered Allah. We can handle it. We can handle it. If Allah is upset, no problem. We can take care of it. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala Ta'ala Ta'ala, you know, no problem. Like, what are you saying? You know, like, what are you saying? This level of disrespect, of istighfaf, of belittling Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's commands. You think you can handle that pressure of the people of Nuh, Hud, and Salih? Everything Allah has told you to do,
Another way of looking at this is everything Allah has told you to do, you don't pay attention anymore. When something's behind you, you don't look at it anymore. You don't even care anymore. You've abandoned the prayer. You abandoned the salah. You abandoned everything. You should be worried. There should be some scare. You pushed away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're thinking that nothing's going to happen to you? You pushed away Allah, yet you cannot escape from Him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said something so beautiful and so profound. He says, if you want to sin, go to a place where Allah ta'ala cannot see you, Allah ta'ala cannot hear you, and Allah ta'ala is not present there. And Ibn Qayyim said, you'll never find a place in anywhere you are in the entire creation that a place like that exists where Allah ta'ala cannot see you or cannot hear you. You cannot escape from Him. He surrounds you from every single angle. And quite literally, the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Midian, is in the area where Hud alayhi salam and Shu'aib and Salih alayhi salam are underneath. Hud alayhi salam and Salih alayhi salam are underneath them. And Lut alayhi salam is above them. Literally, the places are all around them that they were being surrounded. You know, the punishment of Allah has come around them. And same thing about the people of Makkah, by the way. It's the same exact situation. That every angle, every place they're looking at, the punishment of Allah has come. Where do you think you can escape to? Where can you escape to? So he reminds them and he tells them, guys, my Allah has, He encompasses everything you're doing, everything you're saying. And He knows exactly what you're saying right now. You're speaking to me and you're threatening me, right? You are threatening me. You think Allah is not listening? You think Allah is not watching? So he goes and says, let's be honest here about where the threats can come from. Okay? You're threatening me. I'm going to be real honest about where the threat is going to come from. This is what Shu'aib alayhi salam tells them. وَيَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ يَأْتِهِ عَذَابُ يُخْزِيهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ وَارْتَقِبُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ رَقِيبٌ. He says, oh my people, do whatever you want on your position. Forget it. You think you're powerful? Go ahead. Be the superpower. Play the superhero. Be the Superman. Whatever you want to do. Fly around. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want on your position. Inni amil, I'm also doing what I'm doing. I'm also practicing. You know, you're doing things and I'm doing things, right? Whatever you're doing, if it's sin, if it's good, whatever, you will know, soon you will know, sawfa ta'lamun ma ya'ti azab, who on whom the punishment will visit, putting him to disgrace. He tells them, the punishment will come. It'll come on someone and we'll all know who will get this punishment, who will disgrace them and belittle them. You think I'm a lowly person? We'll see when the punishment comes, who will be really lowly in the world? Woman who are kadib, and we'll see who's the true liar. Shu'aib alayhi salam saying, go ahead, flip the coin. Go ahead, pull the trigger. Go ahead, try. Let's see who's lying here. Because he's saying for 100%, 1,000,000%, within, you know, every fiber of my being, I know I'm not the liar here. But we'll see. If you want to just sell us, okay, let's see, let's throw the threat then. Who's the true liar here? Is it me or is it you? Let's flip the coin. Go ahead, take a chance. Who would like to take a chance with this man? Nobody. And then he finally finishes by saying, فَارْتَقِبُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ رَقِيبٌ. Just wait and see. I'm waiting with you. You know, like, oh man, such a scary thing to hear from a prophet. You know, like he's telling them, yes, you know, do what you're doing. You're watching, I'm watching, everyone's watching. Let's see how this entire human history ends, you know. You're waiting for the big bang, you know, the big explosion. The end of time, I'm waiting too. Like, we're all waiting, right? Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, monk, whatever, Jesus, whatever. Everyone is waiting. I'm waiting with you. Let's see how it all ends. Shu'aib alayhi salam, he kicks back hard. You're like, man, that was hard. You cannot mess with the khatib. You just cannot. This man's speech is so eloquent and he hits you on so many levels. You just don't know where to respond from. I can't even imagine a response. There is no response in the Quran from these people because I can imagine, I don't even know what you could tell your prophet after this. You know, the only thing you probably try to do is try to kill him or something. You know? وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةَ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when our command finally came, we saved Shu'aib and his fellow believers in a single mercy from us. Allah says a single blessing of ours can take away all the punishment of Allah Ta'ala in the world. We saved Shu'aib and his fellow believers. In Arabic, when you organize a message, the first part is the most important part. Okay? So Allah Ta'ala focused on the mercy here because he's reminding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all Muslims that don't worry, you'll be saved from everything, from the calamities, through a mercy from us. And you'll be saved. And even it's either that in this world you'll get the complete salvation, or in the hereafter Allah will give you eternal bliss. Well, there's really no loss for a Muslim in any single way you're looking at it.
وأخذت الذين ظلموا الصيحة, and a devastating scream struck the wrongdoers. This word scream has come before. We described the people of Salih alayhi salam. The people of Thamud were also hit by a scream. We spoke about it, that was an earthquake. Again, the scholars have mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam came down and he literally shouted, he screamed to such a degree that the earth shook. Okay, this shout of the angel Jibreel alayhi salam shook the earth. And because of that devastating scream, when the earthquake happened, everyone was screaming within their households, and all of them went up, they ended up, you know, just dropping dead. Basbahu fi diyarim jathimin. A similar punishment came down on the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And scholars have discussed it as to why or how. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also mentioned that it's possible that Shu'aib alayhi salam, that Salih alayhi salam's people were destroyed from underneath, and the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam were destroyed from above. Meaning that the way that the earth shook from below them, it felt like a sandstorm came down or storm came down from above them that made the earth shake as well. So Allah Ta'ala knows best ultimately exactly how it happened. But this is some deep connection between both the people of the people of Shu'aib of Madian and the people of Thamud, right? The people of Salih alayhi salam. So we actually find this, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, and I'll show you really beautifully right after this. كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, same exact expression Allah Ta'ala uses for the people of Thamud, as though they never lived there. They never enjoyed. The house is there, but the house is barren. There's nothing inside. There's no food. There's nothing, right? It looks like there's just cobwebs. It's just a desert land. There's nothing there. As though they never lived there. They never enjoyed. They never sang. كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, right? أَلَا بُعْدَ لِمَدْيَنْ كَمَا بَعِدَتْ ثَمُودْ. Take heed. Banished is Madian, like Thamud was banished. Okay? So there's a similarity between Madian and Thamud. I've already explained that the punishment is very similar. From one being below, the other one being on top, but the screaming is the same. The shouts, the terror that happens on both on that day when the punishment descended. The second similarity is actually their homes. This is another miracle of the Quran. That again, the people of Thamud have very similar structures. That the same way, this is the people of Madian, by the way. This is the way the houses looked. This is the same way the people of Thamud house look, if you remember it. And the land is called Al-Badr or Bidr. The fact that they are banished, bu'dan. This is called the land of banishment, you know. And Ajib that they call the oasis because at one time it was a civilization where people had to cross by and come. And here's another picture for you all to see. The same structures that they had in the land of Thamud, and the same structure they have in Madian. So it's just really point for point. The Quran is just highlighting a historical reality that people later on are finding out about. And we're just seeing it today. And there's probably even more. And this is one little quote I found, which is nice. See the ancient ruins going back to the Midianite times at this important oasis. Visit the Nabataean tombs named after Jethro, Yathrib. Yathrub, in Arabic is Yathrub, alayhi salam. They say that Shu'aib alayhi salam was Jethro. This is important. Oasis was also on a stop on the Hajj to Mecca. I told you before about the way that people used to stop by through the area of Madian to go to Hajj. Same exact thing that they're finding out historians of today. Nearby, you also find the entrance to the dry riverbed canyon that goes to the west side of the Jabal al-Lawz, Jabal al-Maqla mountains. The locals call it the Wadi of Musa. Okay? There is a deep connection between Shu'aib alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. And so I just want to give you an idea. I know I mentioned it before about how there's a bit of a, there's a bit more discussion behind it. One day, inshallah, I hope I could really flesh it out. We need like really good students to just sit there and take notes on this. So the years of Shu'aib alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam were very close. Okay? If you remember, Musa alayhi salam goes to the area of Madian. Right, when he escapes from Egypt, okay, the same area of Shu'aib alayhi salam. So if we're talking about Thamud, Shu'aib alayhi salam talked about Thamud, right? In his discussion, he says, I fear for you the punishment of Thamud. They were destroyed roughly 1600, 1700 BC, okay? 1500s was about Shu'aib alayhi salam's time. It could be a little later, be a little earlier. We're just giving approximations, right? Musa alayhi salam was around 1300s because the Pharaoh's death was 1213 BC, okay? So 1500 for Shu'aib alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam was 1300. Shu'aib alayhi salam was said to have lived for 250 years. And this is recorded in various books and narrations about his age to be so old. Okay, and if you remember in the story of Musa alayhi salam, the daughters described their father as Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. Our dad is a really old guy. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Like I tell you the Quran, when I look at it, I find it to be a huge, I told you like in the beginning, it's like a fortress, right? It has so many treasures within it. And you just want to go in and ask Allah, just beg Him just to give you some of those treasures. There are so many secrets, and I just wish people could spend their time, you know, they spend their time on such nonsense we look at in the world. And we're wasting our time looking at these things. I say, please become a historian, look at the Quran. Become a physicist, look at the Quran. Become an engineer, look at the Quran. You know, look at the Quran, because you can take out something that I could never find. You know, I just want to hear more treasures, because I know this book has everything in it. You know, this type of stuff. May Allah, when we make sajda, we thank Allah for this book. You know, and so I mentioned these things about Musa alayhi salam. You're wondering why? It's because the next story right after this is Musa alayhi salam. Okay, and none of this stuff is, I tell you, it can't be, it's not coincidental. None of this stuff is coincidental. Allah Ta'ala knows best. You want to know the first prophet who's mentioned in Surah Hud? The first prophet is not Noah. The first prophet was actually, وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى. It's also Musa alayhi salam. So the first prophet mentioned in the story is Musa alayhi salam. The last prophet mentioned in the story of Surah Hud is Musa alayhi salam. وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى. Let's examine every story very quickly. And I just wanted to know everything that we just talked about. Nuh alayhi salam was a prophet to his world. And our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet to the entire world. Okay? This is their connection between Nuh and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hud alayhi salam's people were strong and mighty. The Quraysh are literally called the sharks because they are the strongest Arab tribe. This is their connection. Salih alayhi salam was a young man, again, of roughly 40 years. To them, that's still a young boy. The same thing to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he gave the da'wah of Islam. He was 40 years old. Lut alayhi salam was exceptionally kind. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs no introduction in that field. And Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to businessmen, and the Quraysh were businessmen. And if we're talking about these prophets here, of Nuh being the prophet to the world, Hud alayhi salam, strong people, Salih alayhi salam, a young man, Lut alayhi salam, exceptionally kind, Shu'aib alayhi salam, sent to businessmen. And obviously Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa alayhi salam, we don't need an explanation on that, because we know how similar they are. And this is why the section on Musa is the shortest in this entire passage we're going to read. It's very short because people should be well aware about this topic. Allah Ta'ala highlighted each prophet before to show you the details of how they're similar to Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And at the end, he gave you a shorthand for Musa Alayhi Wasallam because you should already know that. And then finally, what we find is that the story of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the story of our Messenger Alayhi Wasallam, is the culmination, is the combination of all the prophets of the past. This is what I'm trying to highlight to everyone. What Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, because if you and I are reading these, the Prophet ﷺ, wallahi, tallahi, he's reading and he's learning all these things by himself. He recognizes these connections with him. He knows these things. And there's one Prophet we didn't mention. We're talking about the stories. There's Nuh, Hud, Salih, Lut, and Shu'aib, Musa. The middle story is Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? The fourth story is actually about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's the middle story. And for looking at Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's the exact, he's one of the closest prophets to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala describes him like how he was patient, soft-hearted, ever turning to Allah. Ya Ibrahim a'rid an hadha. These are literally the middle verses of the story. We're talking about the entire story within Surah Hud of Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam. These are the middle verses. What are they? This Ibrahim was patient, soft-hearted, ever turning to Allah. Ibrahim, you should leave this. This is a message to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Prophet, you are patient. You are soft-hearted and you are turning. You are always turning to me, but please leave this alone. When the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes down, you cannot say anything anymore. Because the Prophet is exceptionally kind. And we're understanding now why Surah Hud has aged the Prophet because as a prophet of mercy, of kindness and love, he has to come to terms that when the promise of Allah Ta'ala has come, the punishment has come, now he has to accept it. And this is what's making his hair gray. Okay, mashallah. And there's so much more in the surah. We're not done yet. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding, allow us to love this book so much, really. From the bottom of our hearts, inshallah ta'ala, let us love this Quran and allow us to obtain more messages from it, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.